Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I'd like to thank all of our new listeners and all of our regular listeners. Thank you for joining us. This is Kate Romero, and I'd like to thank Don Newsom at BBS Radio for providing us with this wonderful platform for Spiritual Hollywood. And speaking of Spiritual Hollywood, we have a wonderful guest tonight that will talk all about Spiritual Hollywood. His name is Derek Rydell, and he is an author with a new book out called There's No Business Like Soul Business, A Spiritual Path to Enlightened Screenwriting, Filmmaking, and Performing Arts. And I'll just give you a little bit of background on Derek before I bring him on. He is a professional actor, screenwriter, singer, songwriter, best-selling author. He also wrote the book I Could Have Written a Better Movie Than That. And Derek Rydell is also a licensed spiritual therapist, a founder of EnlightenedEntertainer.com and ScriptWriterCentral.com, one of the fastest growing online firms for screenwriting and script consulting services. And if you would like to bring up his main website, you can go to www.DerekRydell, that's DerekRydell.com, and just check him out. You could also check out while you're at it, www.EnlightenedEntertainer.com. That's EnlightenedEntertainer.com. And LMNOP. Anyway, I will continue with giving you a few more things about Derek. He's coached thousands of artists, professionals, and individuals from many walks of life, including Fortune 500 companies, helping them to uncover their creative potential, find their authentic voice, which is what it's all about, and live a more prosperous life and fulfill their highest purpose. So without further ado, I'd love to bring on Derek Rydell. Hello, Derek.
Hello. Wow, what an introduction.
Well, thank you for joining us this evening. I'm very excited about this, and since the moment I learned about you, I've been very excited about having you on the show.
Likewise.
So what's the typical day like for an author who just has a book come out that's going to be a bestseller?
Yes, thank you. You know, a typical day, I don't know if there's a typical day, but it's things like this, doing radio shows, doing live events, working with other organizations and marketing the book to them or putting on teleseminars and things. It's a variety of things. It's not just sitting back and waiting for the books to sell, that's for sure.
Right, right. And the law of attraction is all about getting after it, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, just to speak on the law of attraction, you know, when one of my practices is every day when I start off, and just as when every day when I sat down to write this book, and even before the book was sold, before I sat down to write, I would get into a state of being at the end result, being in the consciousness, the mindset, and seeing the book already done. And this was even before the book is sold. And likewise, when I sit down to, you know, market or whatever, as I first get in the state of it's already a bestseller, it's already done, and only then do I get to work.
I call that DD.
DD?
DD, you know, like dog, but DD, and that stands for done deal.
Exactly.
Right.
What's great about that is then I'm not doing anything to try to make something happen.
Right.
It's already happened. I'm just stepping into it.
And that's called the art of allowing, because there is an art to allowing. That's a gift in itself to learn the art of allowing, don't you think?
Absolutely.
And that's
Absolutely.
What you're doing when you're in that process is you are practicing the art of allowing by living it from the end result, which is the best way to go about the law of attraction. And when you do that, you automatically, without even thinking on a subconscious level, start taking action to bring about those things that you saw in the end result, correct?
That's right.
Yeah, so action.
Taking action for the attraction.
Absolutely, because, you know, a prayer without action is no prayer at all.
That's right.
And that's the thing that's the biggest controversy right now about the movie The Secret is that people are saying, oh, you're saying that you can magically, with a magic lamp and a genie, have whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not what they're saying. What they're saying is, you know, you distinguish what you want, you look at it from the end result, and then you put on your overalls and roll up your sleeves and get busy.
Now, oh, you're just getting me so excited here, Katie, talking about this stuff. It's absolutely true, and that's one of the misunderstandings about spirituality in general.
Yes.
But on the other hand, you know, what it is that, you know, thought, word, and action are just three levels of manifestation of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And when you catch the vision in consciousness, if you really get it in consciousness, consciousness always clothes itself in form. So it shows up first as a thought, and then if you continue to hold it, it shows up as your words and your conversations. And if you continue to hold the consciousness, it begins moving you into right action. You can't not act if you're captured by a vision. And but if you are caught by that limited idea that, you know, you're just going to sit there on a mountaintop and wait for things to come to you, then you're going to be sitting there for a long time.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter if you're a woman or a man, you'll grow a beard eventually.
That's right.
And that doesn't sound like very much fun to me.
No.
What's really, really fun is doing what we're doing and co-creating a really great world where consciousness is just exponentially just ignited globally by each person doing things like you're doing. And, you know, all of my clients also, I think all of them watched The Secret over the holidays, and our auditions, callbacks, and bookings have tripled.
Awesome.
That's just in a matter of a few weeks because it's in the consciousness now. It's in our collective consciousness as a community, as a talent management company.
That's right.
And it's very, very exciting. You know, it's just... It's hard not to wake up in the morning and just go, ooh, what can I co-create today? And
absolutely.
As corny as that sounds, that's really the way it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, how cool.
You're inspiring me.
Huh?
You're inspiring me.
Well, you know, it takes one to know one. So what's really cool about this book that you've written, There's No Business Like Soul Business, is that you cover all of the different paths that the artist entertainer would need to know about to be in the entertainment industry and to make a difference, actually to make a difference in their own life predominantly first.
Yes.
Which you must start with the self. If you don't go within, you're going to go without.
That's right.
And I know there's a huge controversy right now also about, you know, the me generation is gone, now it's the we generation. Well, before you can get to the we generation, you got to figure out who the heck you are.
Absolutely.
Right? So
you can't give what you don't have.
Pardon?
You can't give what you don't have.
Absolutely. And if you don't start with that full picture, you can't pour anything into anyone's cup.
That's right.
And to find out, first of all, who am I? What do I want? Not how do I get it, but what do I want? And why do I want it?
Mm-hmm.
Are good questions to ask. Because if you get all consumed in the how am I going to get it, you're going to stop yourself.
Absolutely. You know,
yeah.
I like to think of, I love the acorn principle, and that is that the acorn, within the acorn, the oak already exists. And the only thing is that the acorn, you know, all the whole mechanics, everything for the fulfillment of that oak is already there, and the acorn has to be placed in the right conditions in order for it to unfold because it's indigenous. But we are endogenous, meaning that we literally, as Emerson said, we carry the conditions within us.
Mm-hmm.
So that, but what's great to understand about that principle is that everything we need, the divine design, the plan, the blueprint, and all the support and the resources are actually within us. And when we create the proper conditions by getting to know who and what we are, by clarifying our intentions and expectations, and really tapping into that purpose for which we showed up, we create those conditions for that idea to begin unfolding in our life. And that has to happen really first, because otherwise it's like the acorn going out in the forest and trying to look for bark and, you know, branches and root systems and try to build an oak. It doesn't happen that way. It's an inside-out job, not an outside-in.
Exactly, right. And that's when we're sprouting, is when those conditions are just right.
Exactly.
And they don't get just right until you learn what it is that's driving you. And you have all of these unconscious programs that are open. Like when you have all these programs open on your computer, it slows down your system.
That's right.
And if you don't know these programs are open, you're like, why is my system so slow? You know, it's like molasses.
That's right. Well, are you talking about my computer?
Pardon?
I said, have you been looking on my computer screen?
No, I'm looking on mine. But I'm a multitasker, so I keep a lot of programs open. But then I remember, and everything's a metaphor, and then I remember and I close out some of the programs I'm not using, and sure enough, it speeds it back up again, and I get where I'm going a lot faster.
That's right.
But, you know, that's a good thing about really doing an inner exploration for discovery and all of the things that stop us, all those blocks. Those are the nuggets of gold that you're mining. Those are blessings to find. Bless it when you find a block and a limitation, because then it's in your awareness and you can actually transmute it into something that can help you and fuel you to move forward towards your goal instead of running from something you don't want, which only expands that thing you don't want if that's what you're focusing on.
That's right. Edison, when he was developing the light bulb, you know, he, from the outside world, it looked like he failed 10,000 times to create the light bulb.
Right.
But he said, no, I succeeded in finding the 10,000 ways you can't do it, so I was left with the one way you can.
I just love that thinking. And I just recently did a vision statement. I'm being considered one of, like, 450 people who would like to be considered for Visionary Boot Camp.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote a vision statement, and that's what I said about, you know, on my application. It said, what's your life's greatest failure? And I found myself saying, well, I don't really perceive that I have a failure in my life. I believe that what I've done has been very successful at missing my mark.
Right.
And there's a way to look at it. Failure implies that something's dead, that it just didn't work, that you didn't get any wisdom out of it. But it's impossible not to get wisdom out of everything.
That's right. You're falling forward.
Yeah.
You know, so when you learn to walk, the process of walking is actually learning how to fall forward and then just catch yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But you do a lot of falling forward and not catching yourself for a while. But the key is you're falling forward.
Yeah.
So when you have a so-called failure, if you look at it like that, you look for the blessing, the lesson, the opportunity to learn and grow, then you're always falling forward.
Yes, I love that. And I want to talk to you a little bit too, Derek, if
sure.
I can digress a bit.
Yes.
You're the nephew of legendary film director Don Siegel.
Mm-hmm.
Dirty Harry, Escape from Alcatraz, Invasion of the Body Snatchers. So you've been in show business pretty much your whole life.
I have, in one form or the other. You know, when I was young, my uncle put me in the movies as a kid, and I did some stuff, and then I was going to, you know, head in that direction, but then somewhere along the line, you know, my mom didn't want to be a stage mom, I guess, and I got into school and was going to become a brain surgeon instead.
Wow.
And I got straight A's and was in the scholarship club and was actually heading for college to be a brain surgeon, and I got, you know, got the bug again and got back into acting, and what I discovered was that the impulse to really know and understand the brain was my limited discovery that my greater desire was to understand the mind and the soul.
Right.
And so I became, instead of working on the meat of the brain, a lot of my work has to do with working on the mind and the thoughts.
Yes, that's very clear in your writing.
Yeah.
That, you know, what's in your hero's heart, and you're certainly getting it on the page.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any feature films you're going to be making?
I'm writing a film right now for Universal and another film for Motion Picture Corporation of America. And I just finished a novel, which is I'm very excited about.
Can you talk about that?
Well, the basic gist of the novel is based on Shakespeare's All the World is a Stage, and Men and Women Are But Players Upon It.
Oh, my gosh. My gosh. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That's okay.
I have to.
Okay.
I'm writing a book called The End of the Anonymous Actor, Changing Your Life Story Forever, based on the whole world being a stage and we are but actors upon it.
Synchronicity.
That is so, and synchronicity is divinity showing off. That's Acadianism.
There you go. I like that. Okay. Divinity showing off.
Yeah, totally it is, isn't it?
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Go, please continue. Sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, the basic idea of the story is about a guy who thinks he's been a victim all of his life and basically dies, or what turns out to be a near-death experience, and finds himself in a place called Hollywood.
Oh, wow.
Where he meets his guardian agent and basically discovers that all the world really is a stage, and that not only was he not the victim of his life, but he was the author of it.
Of course, and the audience is inside of you.
That's right, that's right.
Well, guess what? I'm not a guardian agent. I'm a guardian angel, and that's the name of my management company.
I know.
Isn't that funny?
It's awesome.
Oh, my goodness. I love this feeling. This is the most natural thing in the world, you know.
I do.
This kind of thing.
I do, absolutely.
Yeah, so.
It's right in the groove. It's the next wave of, you know, the next wave, I think, of realization, or one of the next waves, you know, is realizing that we're not victims of this experience called life, and that we're actually the authors of it. And to move us, what happened in the book, the character says, you need to stop being a prop in your divine production and start being the star of your show.
Absolutely, star in your own life.
That's right.
And that's what every artist really, if they were mindful, would begin with. I do a little ceremony. I'm a non-denominational ordained minister. Mm-hmm. In my coachings, for the last coaching session, I offer to go up on a mountain and reunite the client to their true nature, to their divinity, mm-hmm. and I even give them a little marriage certificate.
Wow.
And we do this beautiful ceremony where they absolutely make vows to themselves to love, honor, respect, and totally support mm-hmm. themselves. And I really feel that if every person would begin there, then they would be ready for relationship, ready for career, ready for, you know, whatever that they want in their life, because you must get the relationship with self
yes.
into the level where you are treating other people better than the way you want to be treated, so you can learn how to treat yourself. And we teach everyone how to treat us, including
right.
the industry.
That's absolutely right. You know, our life is peopled with the personifications of our own thoughts and beliefs about ourselves.
Yes.
And,
you want to know how you're doing, look at your friends and your family and your life and your career and what's going on there.
That's right.
Excellently
that's right.
said.
Wow.
So I want to also talk a little bit more about
I could just sit here and listen to you talking all night. This is amazing.
No, I want to talk to you.
I
want you to talk to me. But this is fun. I'm really enjoying this. As an actor, Derek, I really want to know some of the things that you starred in for our actors out there. All of my clients are listening, and I'd love them to know more about your journey as an actor and how that took you into this area, screenwriting,
sure.
and, you know, all the places that you've written for. I mean, what are you, 12 years old? Has everyone seen his picture? Oh, my gosh. What a handsome young man you are.
Well, thank you. Thank you. My affirmation, I took it from Deepak Chopra, is I have the biology of youth and the wisdom of the ages.
I love that.
So, you know, I'm getting younger with every solar return.
You know what? We do get a free trip around the sun every year, don't we?
Yeah.
That's
right.
Going to be great.
That's right.
And I belong to your club, too, the wisdom and the agelessness.
That's right. The biology of youth and the wisdom of the ages.
Yes, and there is biology and belief, too.
That's right. Your biography becomes your biology,
mm-hmm.
and as Carolyn Miss would say. So, you know, my journey into acting, you know, I got into acting when I was younger-ish, and I, you know, did various films and TV and stage, and I co-wrote and starred in the longest-running drama play in L.A. history, actually, called Welcome Home, Soldier.
Wow.
And then I was, you know, in various films. I starred in various independent films and some TV, you know, TV shows and movies of the week and mm-hmm. commercials and all that. Did all that stuff and was considered an up and comer. You know, I was with, you know, the top, you know, William Morris and, you know, the top folks and hanging around with, you know, people that are now movie stars and all that. And basically I was in, but who I was wasn't really ultimately in integrity with my greater vision.
Mm-hmm.
But I was doing a movie in Jamaica, and I had what amounted to a near-death experience. And when I came out of that, you know, my ego had been ripped from the moorings and couldn't, like, reattach itself, kind of like Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall and all the king's horses and the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And I had a really incredible I'd always been on the path of searching, but I had a real incredible spiritual opening.
Yes.
And surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the next year or so, I went through a lot of death experiences and dying experiences and dreams and all that. And what I know in hindsight was that the ego was dying and doesn't know the difference between that part of my, that identity was dying, and the ego doesn't know the difference between psychological death and real death. And coming out of that, I decided I was going to become a monk.
Mm.
And started looking into monasteries and where I would join and the cloisters. And at some point, I just, you know, it wasn't quite the right path for me, and I decided I was going to become a minister. So I went to the School of Ministry and began studying that. And at some point, again, I discovered that that wasn't quite my path, and I became kind of a modern-day monk, you know, cloistered in my apartment, praying and meditating and journaling and growing for a couple years. That's all I did.
Mm-hmm.
And then at one point, the voice, the spirit, whatever name people want to give to it, spoke to me and said, your monastery and your ministry are the movies and the media. go back.
Yes.
And I had a vision at that time that was given to me that was, it was like I could see the entertainment industry as it was and all the baggage and all the ideas about what it is and what it should be doing and all that. It was like the curtain was parted and I saw what I believe what it really is. And there's a saying that behind every human aberration is a spiritual aspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that it, the roots of storytelling and performing and entertainment started around the tribal fire.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the shamans and the high priests and priestesses and the spiritual leaders and elders of the tribe would weave these tales to inspire and educate and enlighten the tribe. And that's really the same nature of the entertainment industry. It's why we gather in these dark caves, you know, with the virtual tribal fire flickering in our eyes. And,
mm-hmm.
and that vision drew me back into the entertainment industry, except now it drew me back primarily as a writer, as a creator of content, where I felt like I had more control.
Mm-hmm.
And then that led, you know, to writing scripts and being a script consultant and working on people's scripts and helping to bring out the greater truth and possibilities in them.
That's
and,
wonderful.
Yeah, and then writing, of course, and writing screenplays and books. And
you know what's funny to me,
yeah.
if I could just share something
sure.
with you? I'm listening to what you're saying, and I'm fascinated. I'm just fascinated of how we're all connected.
Mm-hmm.
I was pronounced dead for 12 minutes when
wow.
I was 19.
For 12 minutes?
For 12 minutes when I was 19, and it was a choice to come back, and I came back, and the feeling I had when I came back in my body was so painful. And when I was in that other place, it was the most euphoric nirvana you could ever imagine. Well, you can imagine you were there, right? And it's just absolutely no guilt, no shame, no worries, no concerns. Just going, everything's wonderful, and it felt that way.
Yes.
But the thing that I'm telling you about this for is something happened with my ego death as well. And when I came back into my body, I then started on a spiritual quest. And I wanted to become a nun. And I learned that that wasn't going to be for me once I realized that, you know, many people take the Bible literally, and that was the problem I had with organized religion.
Yeah.
As I tried to take the Bible literally along with them and nearly, you know, lost my mind because
yes.
you can't. And I, for my own self, and no disrespect to any religion, to me the Bible is a book of metaphors and
yes.
Is to teach us through metaphor. And what Spirit told me is that I am the media that I wish to attract.
Yes.
And I didn't know what that meant. And here I am with a radio show going, oh, my gosh, I am the media that I wish to attract. I have become that. And I'm using Hollywood as a tool to raise consciousness in the world.
Yes.
And one by one, client by client, project by project, choosing mindfully and consciously the best things that I can as a talent manager to bring more consciousness to the world through the entertainment industry any way that I possibly can. And that's what you're doing. And this is your ministry. So you did become a minister.
Yes.
And you did become a brain surgeon because you are affecting our consciousness.
Right.
So congratulations. You have a ribbon.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Yes.
I accept.
You are the person you always wanted to be. 100%.
That's right.
I think we all are once we get a concept of what that is. We just need to breathe life into it.
Well, I think, you know, it's like who I am has always been there, and, you know, you see it at various stages of clarity. It's like Michelangelo says, you know, he saw David already in the completed block of marble and just chipped away everything that wasn't
yes.
the masterpiece.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah. So, you know, we're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
The signs are there all along. The vision is there, pushing and pulling and tugging and speaking.
Yep. And then just to hear you talk and to have met you in person and see your youthfulness about you and your radiance and your aura, it's just your ageless, timeless. And to know that you've developed projects for Universal and RKO and United Artists and Miramax and Nicolas Cage and Deepak Chopra and any number of any other production companies, it blows my mind that you've done that, let alone write two books and have done all this acting. And I have
my greatest creation. I have a family with two beautiful children.
Yes, tell me about that. How old are they?
My son is 11 and my daughter's 8.
Wow.
And he's a budding filmmaker, has been voted one of the most popular comedic filmmakers on YouTube a couple times.
Really?
Yeah, you know, in that burgeoning medium. And he creates these wacky, funny things and...
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so he's on the cutting edge.
That's wonderful. And YouTube is a great place to show your talents off and experiment.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting to watch the youth, the kids, because I was watching and following YouTube before anybody, it was really on the radar because he was into it. And that's something to be aware of as artists and media creators, that there is an evolution happening in the way media is going to be showing up and being distributed and all that.
I think another thing too, Derek, which you may be planning to do this as well, is like webisodes of workshops and like teleconferences, but with webcam and streaming video on the internet of courses and things like that. I think it's definitely something that we need because we're all so busy now. We've all become so busy that it's hard to get out and go actually to a seminar.
That's right.
And to watch it on your computer screen and just get that much out of it and have a way to connect with the people that you're watching that's I believe the wave of the future, and I believe that
Absolutely.
That's happening in many, many places now. And I even need to do that for my partner Alex Schief and I do something called quantum hypnotherapy, and to go around to one person at a time getting so busy it's becoming very difficult. And
right.
I think it is possible to have that on the internet, streaming video of courses like that where people can really connect to their divinity and connect to their higher self and their true nature by watching things like that, by the things that you're providing and the things that there's like so many wonderful healers out there that have such great gifts to share. And everybody, it seems to me, is an indigo.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with the indigo?
Oh, sure.
And tell me what your definition of indigo is.
Well, I mean, it's an individual who's come more advanced, more tapped in, more connected with gifts and talents, spiritual gifts and talents, and a spiritual vision, whether they're fully aware of it or not. They're just a little purer, a little clearer. And I think there's an evolution happening. There's an actual evolution happening. So they're being born more evolved, as the consciousness of humanity evolves.
Mm-hmm.
And
And they have a strong drive to transform the world.
To transform the planet.
To the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm meeting, and it's like, I have a concept that we all incarnate in soul groups. And it feels like to me, like even connecting with you, that I keep meeting the soul group that I incarnated with in this lifetime. And if you believe in reincarnation, this is the life you've been dying to live.
That's right.
If you think about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I don't know what your feelings about that are, but I would imagine that you're pretty open-minded about...
About reincarnation?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of different ways to look at it. I think reincarnation doesn't have to be... You don't have to physically die and be reborn in another body to reincarnate. You can reincarnate while still in this body, and or you can choose to check out for whatever reason, and because this particular vessel and this particular design doesn't serve your evolution, and then check back in for that purpose. The way I look at it, again, bringing it back to the analogy of story, if life is a divine drama, divine production, and all the world is a stage, then I look at it like an artist, like an actor who, for me, when I was an actor and the actors I hung around with, we were actors because we wanted to explore and discover more and greater and different parts of ourselves and express more and more humanity, and as Shakespeare said, hold up a mirror to humanity. Mm-hmm. And the process to do that was to take on other characters and other costumes and get involved in different kinds of plays. Sometimes there were tragedies, sometimes there were comedies, and each time I would put on a costume and play a part character and live out that experience and then take it off and walk off stage, I was more my real artistic self, and then I would put on a different character in a different play and get back on stage. And to me, that's the same thing with reincarnation.
Mm.
I'm playing this part called Derek Rydell right now for a specific reason, to learn and evolve my soul in a specific way.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm done and I cast off this character and this costume and step off stage, earth stage, I'll have learned and gleaned and grown and evolved my soul in a certain way. And then I might pick a different character to play because it will evolve me in a different way. And So I kind of, you know, go back to that analogy, and that's how I look at reincarnation. It's not something that just happens automatically or out of our scope of free will or choice, but it's something we choose to do for the evolution of our, the continued evolution of our soul.
I think that was so just beautifully spoken. I have never heard it put quite that way before, but that does make very good sense. And I know for myself I feel like I've reincarnated several times in this lifetime. Just every time you reinvent yourself, that's basically what you're doing.
Absolutely.
You shed. I have a new term for something, and it's not the typical term for BS. You know, it's like when I'm coaching somebody now, I say, you know, that's your BS, and they'll look at me like, what? I'm like, no. Belief system.
Right.
Your belief system.
That's right.
That's your BS.
That's right. I heard that recently. Was that from you? It might have been from you when I saw you the other day.
Yeah, maybe. But the BS is your belief system, and you know, you can refer to it like BS in the typical standard way of thinking of what is BS.
Right.
Because your belief system is what causes your reality.
That's right.
And until you start tweaking your belief system, your life is not going to change.
Right. Because we don't experience life directly. We don't experience what life is. We experience what we are in terms of our beliefs and our consciousness.
Yes.
And as it says, not through a glass darkly, not face to face. And, you know, the other thing about reincarnating or just, you know, that if you look at, again, the analogy of a story, you know, in a story, a character goes on a journey to attain a particular goal with particular stakes, and they have all kinds of obstacles and conflict that are thrown in their way. And the author creates that conflict for the purpose of forcing that character to dig deeper and to draw out latent talents, skills, and abilities, strip away the onion skin, and become more and more of their true heroic self so that they can accomplish that goal. But the goal isn't really the purpose of the story. The goal is the means by which the character grows. And the obstacles and conflict are the catalysts that continually keep that character on the growing edge, as well as the antagonistic forces. And so as an author, as a writer myself, when I'm writing something, I know that I'm creating the conflict and the obstacles so that my character will be forced to grow and grow in enough ways that he or she can accomplish and ultimately achieve the goal. And the same thing is true with life, you know. The key is that you don't have to, if you realize you're in a drama and that these obstacles and conflicts are for the sole purpose of awakening you to greater talents, skills, abilities, and qualities of your own being, you can actually choose to just go straight for the learning right now, and you don't have to even go through the drama, because the drama is only there to awaken our spirit.
To get you conscious.
To get you conscious.
Exactly. And what I heard you say, and I'm a wordsmith, I just love playing with words. I heard you say the sole purpose, and I saw it spelled S-O-U-L. The sole purpose of.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, and when I say the word realize, I see R-E-A-L-E-Y-E-S.
Yes, love it.
And, you know, I got a million of those, and I can't help it. It's just the way that my consciousness is shaping itself, because there's power in language, and there's power in the words that you use.
Absolutely.
And each one that you use has its own frequency and goes out, and it's either pollution or solution.
That's
choose.
Right.
So
right.
It's up to you, you know, what is it that, you know, we are media. We are walking around being media all on our own, because even the thoughts we think about ourselves are media.
That's right.
And the words we say are media, and what we say to each other are media, and everything is frequency and everything is energy. So to be mindful and stalk your thoughts and make sure that you are monitoring your belief system at all times. And, yeah, it does take some effort, but, you know, you'll never have a greater life or feel more alive than getting busy doing that.
That's right. That's right. Becoming more and more mindful, you know. And you don't have to be obsessively worried about it. It's just about being mindful.
Yeah.
And then you can choose, because there's really no such, you know, I've thought about free will. There's really no such thing as free will, because if you're not conscious, then you're just really reacting and thinking you're making choices. Mm-hmm. And when you get conscious, truly conscious, you realize there's really only one choice, and that is to choose the truth, the consciousness, the spirit. And but a lot of times we're walking around and we're just a ball of reactions, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, we were talking about beliefs and the BS and all that. And it's really, I think, for artists and entertainment professionals, you know, one of the reasons why I wrote the book, you know, There's No Business Like Soul Business, is because I've taught a lot of and coached and done a lot of seminars for artists and entertainment people. in terms of how to get more on purpose, more passionate, and be more prosperous in this business, how to get a piece of the act without losing your piece in the act,
right?
And or how to be in the business without being of the business.
And what you meant was a piece, P-I-E-C-E, of the action and not lose the
your
piece.
Your P-E-A-C-E.
E-A-C-E,
exactly.
Right, got it. Very
and,
nice. I thought that was worth pointing at.
Oh, thank you. The wordsmith you are.
Yes.
And one of the things that I, you know, constantly would deal with is that there's a lot of baggage, or what I would call race consciousness, limited beliefs, limited agreements that have been made around the entertainment industry and media, what it is, what's possible, what it takes to make it, et cetera, that a lot of people are living under and don't even realize it, have accepted it as being just the way it is, and they haven't really taken the time to look at those isms and those beliefs and the way it isms and figure out what's really the truth about it. What's the underlying principle? You know what?
Mm-hmm. And this is a wonderful segue for page 47 in your book, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Are you complete with that thought enough for me to?
Yeah, well, let me just say one last little thing. Just that because with those are acting upon us whether we're conscious of it or not,
uh-huh,
until we consciously choose to break that agreement and make a new one.
Yes.
And but in order to do that, we need to do some process of becoming conscious of what we're believing, what we're buying into, and beginning to clear that out, you know, throw away those old scripts and begin to write a new one.
Yeah.
And I think that leads into
the page 47.
And one last little thing, I do wanted to say this, because some of the key things, like, you know, the starving artist syndrome, or it's all in who you know, or if you're over 30, your career is over, or...
I hope not.
I know, but, you know, all of these things... And they feel so real, and they're backed up by all kinds of experience,
mm-hmm,
but they're not backed up by truth, by
right,
spiritual truth. And when you realize that, you realize that absolutely, fundamentally, anything really is possible. And it doesn't matter where you come from, how long you've been at it, what you think you've missed out on, who you know or don't know, how old you are, how young you are. If you catch the vision and you back it up by a strong belief of intention and then action, you absolutely can achieve anything in this business.
Amen. Absolutely. Amen and a woman.
Yes, indeed.
Hey,
so do you want to jump into that?
Gee whiz, don't get me started. Awesome. Love it, love it. And, you know, this is why a spiritual path is so important.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about you have to believe in God, you have to go to church, you have to read the Bible. No, it's a spirituality of know thyself.
Yes.
And if you don't know thyself, then you don't know God.
That's right.
And knowing thyself is knowing God. And I believe that we are that. We are made in the image and the likeness of our Maker, and we are that. And there's no denying it.
That's right.
Once a person gets conscious of who they are and the power they have, that's when they start getting busy.
Yeah.
That's when they start really knowing that they are creators, they're pure creation,
yeah,
and then they start creating on purpose, which
yes,
is the wonderful, wonderful thing about The Secret, because all the controversy anybody could come up with about that movie, you cannot cause me, this person, this radio host, to say anything bad about that movie, because I'll tell you, if my mother saw that movie 50 years ago, her life would have been a heck of a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
Because she would have known that she's in charge of things, and she wouldn't have felt like a victim. And she would raise 7 kids by herself, God bless her,
mm-hmm,
all of us wild Indians, and
wow,
I don't know how she did it.
Wow.
But had she seen that film, she would have seen that there was a more sane way to approach life.
Yes.
And that it wasn't stuff just happening to her, falling on her head.
That's
that
right.
There, she had cause in the matter.
That's right.
And that movie would have shown her that she could purposefully shift her belief system to a way of having her life become more easy and peaceful and calm and smart and work smarter, not harder.
Absolutely.
And that's what's great about that film, and that's what's great about your book. There's no business like soul business. And I would like for you to tell our listeners where they can get this book as soon as they want to get it, which will probably be right away.
Yeah, they can get it, obviously, online, Amazon.com. They can get it, should be able to get it in most major bookstores. I believe it hits the shelves this week and next week. So it's a regular book in regular stores, should be available in most places. But obviously, you can't ever lose going to Amazon.
Absolutely. I love that place.
Yeah.
So what I'd like to is just... to bring up a few misconceptions about the entertainment industry that I'm getting from your book. Is that okay with you?
Sure, sure.
Okay. I'm just going to go down the list, and then we can touch on some things afterwards. Does that work for you?
Sure.
Awesome.
And I do go into, you know, if you're talking about the belief exercise.
The entertainment industry belief exercise one, yeah.
Right. And I do have in there what I call the seven myths of show business and the seven truths of soul business.
Uh-huh.
With people, you know, obviously, where I specifically break down some of the core myths of the business and what the spiritual truth behind it is.
You know, if every actor, every artist knew that and totally got behind that and got the logic of it, it would be a completely different entertainment industry in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
It would happen so fast.
The quantum shift, the
Absolutely.
Critical mass, you know. And that is, by the way, what my vision and mission is with the entertainment industry, as a quick aside, is that there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of artists and entertainment people that are out there, whether they're in the closet or out of the closet, about their spiritual desires and their desires to live and walk a more conscious path as professionals and artists and create conscious content. They're out there, but they're not necessarily getting together and agreeing. And one of my goals with this book and with enlightenedentertainer.com is to bring all of these people together to begin consciously agreeing on the vision for the entertainment industry and their role in it. Because where two or three are gathered and agree upon a thing, critical mass begins to take place. And all I want is that 1% or so that it takes to create critical mass. And then essentially the job is done, because then there's no stopping it.
Right, right.
And so, you know, getting together, beginning to get together and agreeing and dialoguing about what's possible instead of focusing on what's not.
Yeah, you read my mind. And I believe that the problem with media today is that, for the most part, and I do not watch the news because of this, they focus on what's not working, and you feed that to collective consciousness, and it expands. What's not working expands, because collective consciousness is being fed a healthy diet of that.
That's right.
And what I want to see happen is a peace room be put in the White House, and have the vice president be responsible for feeding the media what is working in the world, so that that can be fed to our collective consciousness as a nation, as a world, and have that expand.
Yes. And I believe they are working on a Department of Peace right now.
Awesome.
Marianne Williamson and Deepak Chopra and Michael Beckwith. And they just went there to Washington, I think, last week, as a matter of fact, to lobby about a Department of Peace.
Well, anybody who's really getting in touch with who they really are is part of that collective consciousness that is creating that and bringing that about. Because
Absolutely.
It all starts with each one of us individually. And without each one of us on this planet, there would be such a missing. And there is when a person leaves. And that's how important each one of us are. And people go around thinking they're not important and that their voice doesn't matter, when actually, yes, it does very much. And I believe true courage is full self-expression in the face of no agreement. And a lot of people are afraid of confrontation, so they don't say what's in their heart.
Absolutely.
And I'm telling you out there, tell somebody. Get it on the page. Get it on the screen.
I also
somebody.
Just one little thing about, you know, thinking, you know, what good, you know, can I do, or I can't do that good or good. I think part of that comes from, We tend to look at our life in the context of the finite, you know, material, time-bound experience, instead of looking at our life in the context of eternity. And if you look at a single act of kindness or a single expression of affirmation and the impact that has on that one person or two or five or a thousand, whatever your impact is, if you look at that and you follow the ripple of that into the future in an indefinite amount of time, eventually the impact of that one act of loving kindness circles the planet and affects everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to have a long view.
Mm-hmm.
So your life, whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, and how seemingly small that act is, because in God there's no such thing as quantity, there's only quality, then your impact in terms of the context of eternity is utterly global, omnipresent, omnipotent, and complete.
Yep.
And so that's how important each individual is.
Absolutely. And I also have to share a little more synchronicity with you, that you don't know you're doing it, but I sure do, and my clients do when they hear you say this, is my motto for my company is serving the industry with quality, not quantity. And that's what the God is all quality.
That's right.
More so than quantity. And you know, I thought it was worthy of saying that, because there's so many synchronicities in this whole conversation that we're having. And let's
awesome.
See how much time we have left so that I can get to
You want to talk about the limited beliefs?
Yeah, I don't know why, but I just had a thought that there really aren't any limiting beliefs because it's all perspective. But I will read these. Hollywood is a closed system is one. You can't create good art unless you're a struggling or suffering person.
Just a quick little one about that. I want to just say a little funny story about that. When you can't create good art unless you're struggling or suffering, it's purported to say that, that there's a story that Tom Petty used to get in relationships and then, you know, really had a conscious intention that they would kind of go bad and break up in a terrible, you know, crash and burn in a fiery blaze of glory. And then out of that very painful experience, he could write his best love songs.
Mm-hmm.
And he believed that that's what was needed. And I had a friend once in acting class who was a, you know, successful actress, and she wouldn't go to therapy because she believed if she got healed, she would become a bad actress.
You know, that's so prevalent, more so than you think. I mean, a lot of people feel that way. And when we're doing quantum hypnotherapy with people, they're worried that when they start loving themselves enough and getting their relationship with self healthy, that they're going to lose their edge.
Yep.
And that's just not true. You have more of it. It comes from authenticity then instead of makeup or make-believe.
And also, there's enough suffering in the world. There's millions and billions of people that are already doing all the heavy lifting.
Mm-hmm.
If you become healed and conscious and you just have a modicum of compassion and empathy, you're going to be, as a healed person, to so empathize and understand what the struggles and the sufferings of your neighbors, you'll be able to take that and express that and be able to let people see the journey of suffering, but because you're not caught in that drama.
Mm-hmm.
As a dramatist, whether you're an actor, writer, director, producer, you'll be able to take people on the journey of that drama, but you'll have the light embedded in it because you're not going to be caught up in it because you've gotten healed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that whole notion that you can't create great drama if you're not stuck in drama is just completely false.
Yeah, and a lot of people feel like they can't have a career and healthy relationship with a mate,
right,
which is bogus in my opinion. I believe they both depend on one another.
Absolutely.
But let me continue. It's wrong to create art, write scripts, and act, etc., to make money. Actors and artists are flakes and self-centered. These are misnomers. Writers are low on the totem pole. Striving for success will corrupt you and ruin your relationships. There it is. You have to take a lot of rejection to make it. You have to pay your dues. It's too good to be true. It's all in who you know. The business is corrupt, full of greedy egomaniacs. I don't want to be a star. Stars don't have any freedom. It's not important how successful you are as long as you do your art. Realistically, chances are I'll never make it. I'm not good enough to make it. It takes a lot of luck to make it. It's almost impossible to make it. Very few ever do. I'm not good looking enough. I'm too old. I'm too young. I missed my chance. And you only get one. I'm too late in the game. You have to start young. You have to sell out to make it. Most actors, artists are below the poverty level. I have potential to be successful. All I need is a break. Oh, my gosh, let me tell you, I have heard all of these, and I never, ever really believed them, which is why I do what I do, and I'm helping actors to believe in themselves in the ways that I do because I never took this stuff on and believed it, ever. And there's just your knower knows, and there are people who their knower just knows, and there are people like you who write books like this. And everybody out there who's helping people understand that they don't have to buy into the illusions that you can't.
That's right.
Because you certainly can have, do, and be anything you choose in life.
Absolutely.
And when you get tapped in, tuned in, and turned on, which means you know who you are, there's no stopping you.
That's right.
And so I want to hear now what the seven, what was that, insights that you said? Oh, there's this list on the second page. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, the list keeps going.
Let me just say these really fast.
Sure.
If I make it, some people won't like me. If I make it, I'll be stalked or worse. You can't have a family, marriage, and be successful in this business. Yep, that's a big one. Entertainment people are totally screwed up. You can't make it doing your true passion. I'm just not talented or smart enough. I didn't go to the right school or class. If you don't have friends, family, in the biz, you'll probably fail. I don't like selling or promoting myself or my product. Auditioning, submitting my work is too much of a hassle. Most of the good opportunities are already gone. You need to have a good agent. Trying to make it is too much work. It really is not worth the struggle. You need something else to fall back on. It's much more difficult to make it as a woman. It's much more difficult to make it as a minority. If I make it, I could get addicted to drugs or alcohol, and nobody knows anything in this town. Wow. You sure did. I mean, how did you come up with this list? Did you ask
about people? Let me think. I did a lot of research on myself. You know, I mean, I just looked at over my life.
Very
transparent. The ones I've heard, the ones I've thought, the ones I've bought, and the ones I've fought. And, you know, and there was. And I'm sure there's more. But the key is, as you begin to put them in front of you and see them, and then be mindful of your own actions and feel what's coming up and where those are living in you, it's like, because otherwise, you know, you're going, it's like trying to ride a bike uphill with the brakes on.
Mm-hmm.
And as you start to realize that you're buying into these and you do the work, you know, that I talk about in this book or with you or whoever, to begin to break those agreements and prove them wrong in your consciousness, in your heart, and instill and install the truth, an empowering, affirmative alternative, you know, this really is, there's really no limit.
Absolutely. I want to bring up an analogy because there's something coming up, Derek, that you may or may not know about, and I don't know how you feel about it, but I want to say it on the airwaves right now. Mercury's going retrograde tomorrow for 3 weeks.
Right.
I'm hearing people go, oh, my God, Mercury's going retrograde. And
right.
I say to them, I say, then make a list of all the crap that's going to fall on your head because Mercury's going retrograde. Make that list. And then one by one, go down that list and transform it before it has a chance to happen because it's in your thought process. You will bring it about because you are that powerful.
That's
has
right.
nothing to do with Mercury.
That's right. Absolutely. And we're not the stars. And the planets are not outside of us. The whole universe is within our consciousness.
Yes, so nothing can cause us harm outside of us unless we believe it to be so.
That's right. That's right.
So that's what it was really important to me to say that tonight. And also it does feel very similar to what we were saying about that list of misnomers. And, you know, you take a belief system like that, that kind of BS is what we'll call it, belief system, and you're dead in the water.
That's right.
You know, why even bother? And a lot of people show up at the audition just to say they went without any intention of booking it because of these beliefs.
Right.
And it's a lot of waste of gas money, and they could be out flying a kite and having more fun.
That's right. And even with the Mercury retrograde thing, you can look at it and go and flow with the seasonal, the energy season that that brings in the sense that it's not a negative. It's a time to renew, to review, to renegotiate, to rethink.
Redefine.
To what?
Redefine.
Redefine.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So you can actually flow with that energy and totally cleanse and just revamp and totally renew so many areas of your life and come out of it blasting out of the orbit in a whole new trajectory.
Absolutely. And it's all a matter of your belief system.
That's right.
All of it. And there's so much power in that once you really get it.
Absolutely.
All of us have it. We're born knowing all there is to know. We forgot we know it. And then other things come along to remind us that we know it, like your book. And the things that you're doing and this show and, you know, The Secret, all these wonderful things. Peaceful Warrior has an excellent scene in it about ego.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh,
it wasn't playing when I tried to go watch it, but it's coming on video soon, I think.
Well, it's coming out nationally on March 30th.
It is?
Dan Millman on last week.
Okay, great.
Yeah, it's coming out nationally March 30th. It's going to just be amazing what happens in the collective consciousness. It's going to be tangible. But there's an awesome scene in there about the shadow self and about, I don't want to give too much away. I just want everybody to see it.
Well,
great.
I've been a big fan of Dan Millman for years.
Oh, yeah. Well, if he's listening, I'm sure he'll be happy to hear that. So I want to ask you, what is your mission statement? I have a good feeling of what it is, but I want to hear it from you.
Well, my mission statement there's a general mission statement that's very simple that really encompasses everything, and that is to awaken individuals to their true identity, inspire them to fulfill their divine destiny, and reveal a world that works for everyone.
Oh, my gosh, you did it again. Derek, you did it again. My mission statement, if I may say, is I wanted to cause a world that works for everyone, leaving nothing and no one out.
Well, there you go.
Very similar.
Exactly. And then that mission statement is really the core of my being. So whether I'm writing a script or a book or teaching or on this call or making a movie or making dinner for my family or putting my kids to bed, that's the vibration. You know, the vibration is always about being an environment, an atmosphere, and an instrument of awakening people to their true identity and inspiring them to fulfill their destiny, which means getting rid of all these limited beliefs in the way.
Absolutely.
And when everybody's doing that, we're in our right place, and then the world really does work for everyone.
Yeah, and there's a collective consciousness, and every thought we think is either pollution or solution. Choose.
I love that one.
Yeah. So do you have a burning desire in your heart of something, whatever spirit's giving you to say, I want to hear what it is, because we're counting down to the end of the hour, and I want to hear what it is. What does spirit have for us to hear?
What I'm not sure about exactly what your question is.
I'd like to hear whatever's in your head right now, in your heart right now, I want you to say it to our listeners.
Well, I just want to say to all the people, artists, entertainment professionals, whoever's listening, you know, in terms of this book and what I'm about, is that there really is, like I said, behind every human aberration is a spiritual aspiration. The entertainment industry is an instrument of personal and planetary transformation. That's not a hope or a fantasy. It really is the divine idea for it. And if you're listening and you feel like you are a part of it, then you have already a role in it. And the work has already been done. It's already been created and named good. And the job now is to tap into that vision, to say yes to it with a clear intention, to do the inner work to remove all the limited notions we've been talking about, and then begin to step out boldly and take action on that vision. And when you do that, I guarantee you that you will be supported. The universe is supporting you.
Absolutely. Anytime you find your purpose, the universe shows up to support it.
It does.
And anytime you're being of service, your physical needs are always provided for.
Absolutely.
Every time. It's as constant as gravity.
Absolutely.
And I want to thank you, Derek Rydell, for being my guest tonight on Spiritual Hollywood.
Thank you.
And I want everybody to get a copy of There's No Business Like Soul Business, The Spiritual Path to Enlightened Screenwriting, Filmmaking, and Performing Arts. And that list that we went down, I want you to get into this book and find a way to turn that list around for yourself and have the life that you love and have the life that you want, because that's why you're here. And if you don't, you're ripping us off, because we need to be inspired by you.
There you go.
So please, please, please allow yourself to be who you are and know that the weirdest thing about you that you're hiding is probably your gift.
Absolutely.
And let it out.
Amen.
All right? Okay, so thank you, everybody. Love each other. Please come back and join us again next week, and we'll have a great time then as well. Thanks again,
Eric,
and hopefully we'll get you a link to this show today so you can do with it what you please.
Great.
And next week we have Michael Murdad with us, who will speak about sacred sexuality. Ooh, and happy Valentine's, everybody.
Yes, indeed.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.